Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Michelle Robin, and today is June 26th, and this is the Noon Job Search Wars teleseminar, Conquer Your Fear, Charge with Your Resume, and Capture the Job. Again, my name is Michelle Robin of Brand Your Career, and I want to welcome you along with Sari Klein and Megan Walls of Jumpstart the Job Search. We are excited you are all here today, and we're ready to answer your burning job search questions. Our goal is to take some of the mystery out of the modern job search and arm you with knowledge so you can start landing more interviews faster and eventually your ideal job. So you're lucky that we have a bit of a smaller group here today, so everyone should get a chance to get at least one question answered. But before we dive into that, I kind of want to do a little bit of an icebreaker, even though we're over the phone and we can't see each other. I still wanted to do an icebreaker and ask you just a couple of really brief questions. So first, I wanted to know how many of you are like brand new to the job search. And in order to just press a button on your phone, we'll hear a beep. I just want to kind of get an idea of how many are brand new to a job search.
How brand new, Michelle? Like a week?
Like a week, 2 weeks, less than a month. All right, no one's brand new. That's good. How many of you have been searching? Oh, you
I
are.
Am, and I press a button, but I guess it didn't make any
I did press the button, too, so there's two of us.
Oh, I thought we would have heard it.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
All right, so since we can't hear the button, I thought we would all be able to hear everybody's button pushed. Just say an enthusiastic yes next time. So how many of you have been searching 3 to 6 months?
Yes.
Okay, got a couple of those. And how many of you have been searching longer than 6 months?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And a few of you in that camp. So at least we know we've got a wide range of people. Good to know. So one other question that I would like you guys to kind of jot down on a piece of paper, hopefully if you have a piece of paper handy. If you're driving, don't bother jotting it down. But what would you like to get out of the call? And just jot down your answer on a piece of paper, and I'll give you about 30, 60 seconds to do that. So go ahead and jot down on a piece of paper what you would like to get out of this call today.
Is it one question only?
Yeah, just this one question.
Okay.
So hopefully you've jotted down an answer, and we'd really like to hear from all of you. So would anyone like to share what their answer is?
I'll go, Michelle. It's Arlene.
Okay, great. Thanks, Arlene.
I would like to hear, actually, this is my first call, but I would like to hear what other struggles or expectations other job seekers are looking for. Just kind of get a feel, because I'm sure that many of my questions will be the same questions I'm thinking. The second thing is it seems to be so difficult to get in for even an interview. In my experience 10 years ago, it was so much easier, even at a high executive level position. So I'd like to get an answer to that when we discuss it.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else want to share?
I would. Hi, this is Maureen. It's been a long time since I've created a resume, and I just recently found out I'll be losing my job after 15 years. So I guess I want to know how to create an eye-catching resume.
Okay.
Is that covered here or no?
Yeah, we will definitely answer that. Okay. Anyone else want to share an answer of what they want to get out of today's call?
Yes, my name is Sarah.
I have one. Can you hear me?
I was going to say, I heard Sarah first, so whoever was just speaking, we can go next. So go ahead, Sarah.
I wanted to know information on maybe how to locate recruiters on LinkedIn.
Okay, and then who spoke after Sarah?
Hi, it's Jan.
Hi, Jan. And
can
what
you hear
were
me?
You hoping? Yes,
hi.
I can hear you. What were you hoping to get out of
okay,
the
good.
Call today?
I was wondering if you could say anything about older people who are searching for jobs. Anything
sure.
you had to say.
All right. Well, this is a great start. Does anyone else want to chime in before we officially kick off the Q&A?
This is Diane, and I would like to ask advice on staying motivated and disciplined and not giving in to procrastinating by doing other things because it's been a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thanks, everybody, for sharing. I greatly appreciate this. So this is really your opportunity to ask these questions that you've kind of just surfaced to a seasoned recruiter, Sari Klein, a career coach, Megan Walls, or a nationally certified resume writer who is me, anything about your job search. So here's how today's call is going to work. This is a Q&A format designed for all of you, so please be open and engaged and state your first name when asking a question. And when we answer these questions, we might be answering that specific person's question, but I'm sure that the information that we share is going to be applicable to everybody. So I'll start with a brief introduction of the panel and then move into your questions. And I want to give everyone the opportunity to ask at least one question, so I'd like you to ask that you talk one at a time and try not to interrupt. I know it's a little challenging on a teleconference, but we'll do our best. And I also want to thank those who submitted questions ahead of time, and we will get to those too. So again, a quick housekeeping note, star 6 will mute your phone, star 6 will also unmute your phone, and again, if it gets too noisy or hear someone, you know, having another conversation or dog barking, I'll try to mute that line. So with that, I'd like to introduce our panel. First is Megan Walls of Jumpstart the Job Search, a certified career coach. Megan, can you please tell the callers a little bit about you?
Sure. Thanks to all of you for being here. And as a career coach and actually having gone through a difficult career transition about 10 years ago, my job is to help you raise your self-awareness, build confidence, and create effective action plans so that you have a more successful job search. So that's what I do. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks.
Thanks, Megan. And Sari Klein, a seasoned recruiter, which also with Jumpstart the Job Search. Sari, would you like to take a minute to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everybody, and I'm so glad that you are all joining us today. I have been a recruiter for 30 years, and in those 30 years, and I do own my own recruiting firm as well, I've seen the worst and the best of job interviews. And so from that experience, I really do understand what it takes to have a good interview experience and how you can absolutely sabotage yourself in a job interview. So that's what we do at Jumpstart, and I am just happy to be able to be helpful and answer any questions, particularly in the interview process. So welcome, everybody.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Sari. And again, I'm Michelle Robin, a dual-certified resume writer and founder of Brand Your Career. I empower sales and marketing executives to sell themselves without thinking about it so they can land their ideal job faster. And I'm happy to answer any of your questions about resumes and LinkedIn and bios and cover letters and all that, those sorts of things. So with that, who would like to jump in and have the first question? You guys stated a lot of good things of what you want to get out of this call, so I'm happy to answer whoever wants to jump in and go first.
Hi, this is Maureen. I'm interested
Maureen.
In knowing what can sabotage your interview. Like, what's the number one thing that could sabotage an interview?
Oh, that's a great question. This is Sari. So I'm just going to give you my point of view. And it's really hard to say that there's one. You know, people do ask that all the time. I'm just going to throw out a couple answers. One, I think the most important is, first of all, you sabotage your interview if you walk in and don't make a good first impression. And that probably is the most number one thing that I could say, because if you've blown it the minute you walk in, you don't really have another chance to make it up. And there is a statistic that says that 33% of hiring managers will make a decision in the first 30 seconds of meeting you if they're going to hire you. So that would really be my, you know, something very important to realize, that as you walk in the door, the way your posture is, the way you're professionally dressed, your handshake, your eye contact, your smile, that is something that you can't take back once you've made that first impression.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of other things that we can talk about, and that probably has to do with your attitude and your enthusiasm during the interview. And perhaps there will be some other questions you'll want to ask. I don't want to take up too much time on this one, you know, to begin with.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have the next question.
I'll go. This is Arlene. I have been in the for-profit world about 15 years ago, and I am now in the non-for-profit world. And I'm interested in, and I've been there for 10 years, so what you see on my resume, that's what shows up the most. And I'd like to go back to the for-profit. Any recommendations on how I can do that? Is that a resume? Is that a talk-through? And also, my experience was in marketing, and my current experience in the non-for-profit is fundraising, which I no longer want to do.
Okay, I missed what your current experience in non-profit was. What was your current experience?
Fundraising. I'm in charge of a territory internationally. I fundraise for the international missions.
Okay.
And I don't want to fundraise anymore.
Okay, which is totally fine. I'll answer part of this, and then maybe Sarah or Megan want to jump in too. I'll answer it from the perspective of your resume and how you may want to position yourself in your resume.
Okay.
You would want to focus on whatever current experience you have that's transferable. So, you know, developing fundraising campaigns is really just marketing for a nonprofit. So try to lessen the use of the word fundraising in your resume. And even you may even change it to, you know, developed marketing campaigns, even though you're working for a nonprofit. If you're trying to get back in a for-profit, obviously a for-profit is not interested in fundraising, but they are interested in how you can get responses from a marketing campaign and drive revenue. Mm-hmm. And which is the same thing as getting responses from a fundraising campaign and driving donations. So think about the corporate terms that would be equivalent to what you're doing in the nonprofit world, and that's how you can frame your current experience. In addition to that, in your summary section of your resume, you can bring up your older experience from when you were in the corporate world, and if you had some good achievements, you can highlight those in the summary section so those are brought up to the front and seen right away. So those would be my two quick points of suggestion on how to transition back into the profit world. So, Sari or Megan, do you have anything else to add?
This is Megan. It's Sari. Let me jump in and just give you my two cents. And I certainly would agree with Michelle. It's often difficult to transition from nonprofit to corporate. There's a stigma there. It's easier to go the other way, but you can do it. You have to speak the corporate world. You have to speak the business world. So as Michelle says, perhaps get rid of some of the, you know, a lot of about fundraising. I mean, you've done it, and it's appropriate, but you need to get rid of some of a lot of the nonprofit jargon and use words that speak to the corporate and business world. And whether it's in your resume or in your interviewing process, what's really important is that you are able to detail your accomplishments and your results and how they have affected your company. And so it's just really important to really speak in business terms. And I hope that it is helpful to you.
Yeah, it is. I forgot to tell you that the non-for-profit is a faith-based. That's even more struggling. That's even more a concern for me. because I'm going from a non-for-profit faith-based to a for-profit. You know what I mean? Is the faith-based going to be an issue?
With some companies, yes. You know, let's be honest, with some it will, just because they don't give it enough credence that, you know, what you've done is business-oriented. But if you can describe and discuss verbally how what you did is very business-oriented and what you did is very data-driven and business-driven and business-oriented, I think that's what your focus needs to be.
Okay.
So I just hope that's helpful to you.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
This is Megan. I just wanted to jump in that, Arlene, one of the things that we do with clients when they're really transferring from, say, nonprofit to profit, for-profit, is we look at your successes and achievements, and we pull out your strengths, and then we really transfer them into the as Michelle was saying, the corporate terminology. We really want to leverage them in a professional corporate setting, and that's something that's really important to do to break it down, because it's easy for you to maybe think they're not leverageable, but we help you really get in that mindset and vet it out so that you can transfer it, your experience, and articulate it with that, the corporate term.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have the next question.
And if no one speaks up, I'll go through and answer some of the things that you mentioned earlier, or if someone maybe didn't hit star six on YouTube if you're muted. So does anyone have the next question? Otherwise, I'll go back to what I heard in the beginning of the call.
Michelle, this is Mary. I have a question touching base on the recruiter area. So I get contacted by recruiters, and they say they're going to present my resume to their clients, and that they've, you know, I'm sure they say this to a lot of people, that your skills match very well, they're going to present me, and then I never hear a word back from them. I try and continue a dialogue with them, follow up, just as if I was following up with a potential employer, and they still are very cordial, but they never come right out and say, no, they weren't interested. They just gone. So
do you want the recruiter to answer that question? All right, so recruiters are a dicey group of people. They and having been part of that tribe for a long time, recruiters are looking for somebody to fill their position, and frankly, they are very directed. If you don't quite, you know, have what they're looking for, then you know you don't hear from them again. I am sorry to say, but you're actually asking, I think, a different question, and that is you've been contacted by a recruiter through LinkedIn. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Either by LinkedIn, or they find me in Career Builder, or they've seen me in other places. So it's
okay.
Not like I found them; they found me, but then they just go cold.
And so, is the conversation on LinkedIn? We have found your resume. It seems to, you know, appeal to our client, and we will get back to you. Or do you have a one-on-one phone conversation?
I have a one-on-one phone conversation with several of them. Just a lot of them are just like an interview, you know, pre-screening interview. And then they said, okay, we feel you're a good fit. We're going to present you to our client. I'll get back to you. And then,
and
you
never
know,
to be heard from again.
Yeah. They tell me the terms of even if it's a contract position, they tell me the terms of the position and everything, and then nothing.
And so how did you feel the phone conversation went? Did you think you did a great job, or did you get off the phone feeling, oh, I'm not sure I did very well?
No, I felt very positive, because they confirmed that they felt I was, I mean, they confirmed they felt it was I was a good match and that they were going to present me, and they would be getting back. And then I continue to follow up, and they don't come right out and say no, but they just, I don't know. It just seems like.
So you have no idea then if you are being considered or not. You feel like they drop off the face of the earth and they don't give you any feedback.
Right. And after a few times of following up, I kind of just accept that they're just pulling me off in a nice way.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're what they're doing is they're casting a wide net. So they're recruiting on LinkedIn, and they are, you know, gathering resumes and having very, I'm assuming, fairly brief phone conversations with you. But I would caution you that any phone conversation is really a telephone interview. I mean, it's really, you know, you are being evaluated. And I think the only thing I can suggest to you is that you get specific follow-up information from them when you complete your phone screen with them and just say, when will I hear from you and when may I, you know, be back in touch with you? And see if you can, you know, pin them down to, okay, you will hear from me or you will hear from them by, you know, August 6th and follow up. And then after that, honestly, you know, there's not much you can do. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but, you know, you can follow up to a certain point and then you become annoying, right?
Right.
But I would just try to get specifics. When you end that phone screen with them, when will I hear from you? And may I follow up with you as well? I'd ask those two questions. What is the next step?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Who would like to go next?
I'd like you to address a question that you actually put out in advance about the types of questions that we can ask, because I found it interesting. You put down the job application asks for my current salary, what should I put?
This is Michelle, but I'm going to let Sari take that one.
Okay. Because I always I often see that a job posting will say, you know, don't, you know, answer all of these things. Make sure you include this for consideration.
Yeah, I'll let Sari answer.
All right, so I'm going to give you a very...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say I'll type in afterwards about what some tips that I've heard to do in the cover letter, but go on.
Okay, great, and I'll just try to be brief here as well. So if you're filling out an applicant application that's going to go into an applicant tracking system, I believe you are required to put that salary in, otherwise you're going to get dinged. So you won't even get a response if you don't fill it in.
Right.
So you certainly can put a range. And, you know, you don't want to be left out of a job interview. You know, if you want $60,000 and they're offering $50,000, you know, it might be a great package and you don't want to get left out. So, you know, it's easier to say that on a telephone than on an applicant tracking, you know, kind of
right.
a system. I would just
right.
put, you know, $50,000 plus or whatever you're looking at plus. I mean, give them a range. Give them 40 to 60 depending on, you know, commensurate with it, you know, my experience. But just you do have to fill it out. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
so,
I would
Michelle,
just add,
you go ahead.
You know, sometimes a job description asks for that specifically. So if you don't answer it, you also risk the chance of getting dinged because you didn't follow the directions, so to speak.
Right.
So in that case, in your cover letter, you can address, you know, that I'm looking for, I would always say what you're looking for versus what you're currently at, because
mm-hmm.
what you're currently at shouldn't matter to your next employer, even though they may hound you forever to try to get that, that specific
mm-hmm.
Salary. Always go with what you're targeting. And give them a range, and that's your, you know, your best chance in a cover letter.
Okay.
Agreed.
Michelle, you're saying put the range in the cover letter?
only if the job application is requesting it. You know, sometimes it says you must state your salary requirements when submitting your application. So.
Yeah.
If you want to follow directions and not get dinged because you're not following directions, I would put a range. I would, you know, put that here's, you know, my target salary is this, and I would, it's open to discussion depending on experience or something to that effect.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Next question.
Hi, this is Maureen again. I was wondering how far back you go in your field of experience.
Great question. My typical answer...
Michelle, you take it first, and I'm going to give you my feeling about it all.
Okay, Sherry. Typically, in a resume, I recommend clients go back 10 to 15 years. But there are circumstances where you may go back further. So, for example, if you've been out of the workforce for 10 years and you're, you know, returning to the workforce, obviously you're going to want to bring back some of that experience. Then there's a whole other way to write your resume and position you in that case. The other thing is to include older experience if you have something that's very relevant to what you're targeting. So I always tell clients, ask the question of yourself, you know, is what I'm writing down in my resume relevant to where I want to go? So if the answer is no, then I would say leave it out of your resume. If the answer is yes, then we'll figure out a way how to put it in there. One way to treat early experience, I had a client that had early experience at some big companies like MSNBC and some other big name companies that he didn't want to leave off because he felt that, it's nice to say that you worked for those, recognizable names. So in that case, you can always also have an early career section where you don't have to specify dates, and you can just put, media analyst at MSNBC or whatever it was that you were. And you don't really have to put a whole lot of information. You can just put the job title and the name of the company. And if you want, you can add maybe what was your one most significant thing you did there if you want it to be a little bit descriptive. So that's what I typically do for my clients. And go ahead, Sherry, with what you want to add.
I agree 100%. I think where the rule of being, absolutely you only go back 10 or 15 years, I don't believe in that because, as Michelle says, there may be something in your, 25 years ago that was really relevant, and it's relevant to what you're applying for today. So you want to see that in your resume somewhere. And so I don't see anything wrong with that. And as a recruiter, I'm always asking people, if they're 50 years old and I see that they've only been working for 10 years, I realize that they have a whole life history behind them. And I want to know that. So it probably is helpful to at least give a little hint of that on the resume, because the value you often bring is something that you've done 20 years ago and not just in your last, 5 or 10 years. So I'm really, big on and agreeing with Michelle that there are different ways to accomplish that in your resume. So just don't be hard and fast about, I only go back 10 years. It's not necessarily appropriate.
Can I do a follow-up question to that?
Sure.
Because experience, if you went 15 years, my experience goes back, further than 15, but I stopped at 15. I have 3 pages. And for you experts, do you say 3 pages is a definite no-no and I have to start cutting back, or is 3 acceptable for those people that have a lot of experience?
Michelle, take it away.
The short answer is it depends. It depends, Arlene, on what that experience is. So you may have older experience that warrants the 3 pages, but be more brief on what that older experience is. Like, hone in on what exactly it was that's totally relevant to where you're going. Because your resume is really about your future. It's not about your past. So I would recommend, look what's on that 3rd page. Are you going into detail of responsibilities included of what you did in 1995? Nobody cares. However, in 1995, if you, saved the company $1 million and also won a $2 million account, then that's something significant worth reporting about. Do you understand what I'm saying between the difference of that? Mm-hmm. So
if it relates to the job that you're looking for.
Exactly. How relevant and is it to the job you're looking for, and then highlight it.
And so it's not a, so it's truly a, it depends. So recruiters, mm-hmm. HR professionals are not turned off by three pages, but they should have, because you only have, what, 6 seconds to look at the resume, 15 seconds?
That's right, yeah.
Reviews? Okay.
Right. Right. So mm-hmm. that's why the top one, the top third of your resume is the most important, because if you don't capture their attention in the top third, there's no way they're going to read to page three. And if you don't have content that's compelling and relevant, they're not going to get past page one or two. So just if you're on that third page, you better have really relevant, compelling content.
Okay.
So with that, I did want to jump in here before we get to the next question, because I know some people might have to jump off the call early. And I wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about a special offer that we have for you guys today. And you're all going to love this. Megan, Sari, and I conduct a 30-minute Accelerate Your Career consultation. And in this consultation, we go over where you want your career to go, where you are currently, how to remove your job search roadblocks, and what other professionals like you have done to make a successful career move. So normally this consultation is $199, but today we have three one-on-one 30-minute consultations to give away. So now there's about 15 of you on the call today. So we have a brief application process. So in order to get that application emailed to you, simply go to your email and go ahead, if you're at a computer, go ahead and do this now. Send an email to info, that's I-N-F-O, at brandyourcareer.com. Again, that's info at brandyourcareer.com. And use the subject line application. And in the body of the email, just tell me your name, and I'll be sure to email you the application to get that 30-minute consultation after this call is over. So, again, it's a 30-minute one-on-one consultation with second. Now I'm combining your names, Megan and Sari. Megan, it's a one-on-one consultation with Megan, Sari, or me. And again, send an email to info at brandyourcareer.com and just put in that subject line application, and in the body of your email, just tell me your name, and I'll be sure to reply to that email and send you the application. And those applications will be due by next Tuesday, June 30th, and then we will let you know if you've secured one of those three free consultations. So I hope you all take advantage of that. And now we can get back to the Q&A. So who has the next question?
Hi, this is Jennifer. I have a question in regards to finding out who the hiring manager is. I've come to find it a little bit difficult on LinkedIn. If you don't have the upgraded version of LinkedIn, it doesn't always send those emails to the hiring manager.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, you or me, Sari?
you go first, and I'll throw in a bone here.
Okay. what I have found with LinkedIn is typically I recommend that clients, you can search by title. So what's the typical title that your position that you're seeking would be reporting to? And then you can look for that title within that company. So that might be more helpful to try to get to those names. And yes, I know if it's a third party or it's a third level connection, you don't always see their full profile. So another tip that you might want to try, you can search outside of LinkedIn using Google, but you can search just the site of LinkedIn. So if you do a Google search and you type in site, S-I-T-E, with a colon, LinkedIn.com, and then whatever your search terms are, the Google results will be everything in LinkedIn. So this comes into play when you've surpassed your search limit, because now for the free accounts on LinkedIn, you have a certain search limit per month. So it also can bring back more results that you don't always see in LinkedIn. So that would be one trick that I have my clients do to try to find the name of that hiring manager, is look by the title of what that hiring manager might be within that company. And try to find it that way. Another way is actually using Facebook, because Facebook sometimes might give you a little bit more information, and you can do a similar search on Facebook, and and search for the name of the company. And it, like people, you can search people that work at IBM or wherever it is that you want to target. And then you'll find names. And then you can go look at those names and look at them on LinkedIn. So you can kind of use the two in tandem. So those would be some other tips that might be helpful to finding the name of the hiring manager that you're
Michelle,
not currently getting.
I have a question regarding that. When you check companies, so you look for the companies first, and then how do you search the people within the companies? That's the part that I'm confused. In LinkedIn.
Within LinkedIn, you can click. There's an advanced search link next to the search bar, and you can type in your keyword terms, and then you can also look for the names of the company. It's kind of hard to explain over the phone, Arlie, without showing you a screen. But if you click on the advanced search within LinkedIn, you have a lot more options of what to search on.
Okay.
And so, Sarah,
and I just
want
to add, and you'll know how old I am by adding this comment. Sometimes just pick up the darn telephone, call the company. It's amazing what you can find after you've posted every Google and LinkedIn piece of information. It's a little harder to probably call IBM and get to the right person. But honestly, truly, just sometimes just pick up the phone and. Being nice to whomever answers, if there actually is a person who answers, will get you to the right. People forget to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, great. Next question.
Would you like to address staying motivated and disciplined in a job search?
Yes, and I bet Megan would love to take that question.
Sure, I would love to help. So it makes perfect sense that the job search can be very frustrating, overwhelming, disappointing, and even at times you feel stuck. I think what's really important is to two things: having the right mindset. Are you guys hearing me all right, or am I in echoing?
Echoing
a little. Okay. Let me try this. First of all, having the right mindset. It's really important to manage your thoughts. Your thoughts really do create your reality. So if you're waking up every morning and saying, oh, I'm so dreading having to do this, it really is going to directly impact the results. You're not going to get a job. And it's important for you to really manage your thoughts. And all you have to do is change your thought to, you know what, I'm in the process of finding the right job. Again, easier said than done, and that's something we work on, but that would be your first step. You've got to watch what are you saying, what are your thoughts. The second thing is creating an action plan. Creating an action plan to keep you moving forward. So you might want to take the big long-term result, finding a job, and then breaking it down into small short-term actions that you can do daily or weekly so that you are actually moving forward, and the small, successful short-term goals you're achieving, and so you are feeling good and positive. I think the other thing is just to surround yourself with helpful, supportive people who are going through the job search or who have been through, because they're going to be your best support versus maybe friends and family that you think might support you but have never been through a job change, job transition. They don't understand. So it's three things. It's your mindset, watching and managing your mind. It's creating and following an action plan, and then being having a good support system to keep you moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle or Sarah, do you want to add anything?
Not really. I think you just you really said it. I guess I would add that whole attitude just permeates from you know, from beginning to all through your job search process. And if your attitude is, I can do this, I will do this, I have much to bring to an employer, that just comes out in your interview. And I just think that what Michelle said just, what Megan said just really resonates in everything you do in your job search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just have a quick tip to add that I've heard a job seeker just recently tell me. Every time that they get rejected or turned down or they don't get the interview they wanted, they just go, okay, next. So, you know what, that one's done. I'm going to move on and do the next thing. So it's like, okay, next. So it gives a much more positive attitude than, oh, no, I didn't get it again. So just say, okay, next, and you're moving on.
Well, you know, Michelle, it's Megan. In you know, just to dovetail what you said, when that happens to people, I tell them, you know what? It wasn't the perfect fit. There's a better job out there, right? And what I've noticed is when you're supposed to go down a certain path, the doors open and it's just effortless. And if you keep hitting your head against the wall, I really think, you know, it's as if you're not supposed to go down there. You're supposed to, it really is supposed to be effortless. So, staying positive and keep moving is really most important.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And you guys have been asking great questions. All these have been fantastic, and I know that you're getting mutual benefit out of all of them. So who has the next question?
Michelle, can you answer the question on the, I was going to say old age, but if you're older. And how do you present yourself?
I would say a more experienced job seeker.
Beautiful.
There's no, I'll touch on this, but I think Sari may have some better insights than me. I personally think experience can be used to your advantage. Obviously, we live in a world where there's going to be age discrimination, whether we like it or not. So my attitude about this has always been, you know what, if they're age discriminatory, you don't want to work there anyway. So move on to a place that is going to value your wisdom and have that with your attitude. And then that goes on to kind of dovetail into what we said before about how far back to go in your experience on your resume. So I have a current client that I'm dealing with who is transitioning from his own business to a sales position, and he's had his own business for 25 plus years, and he's getting called because the hiring managers value that he's owned his own business. So he's been in sales for 25 years. Of course he's going to know how to sell. So that's really a positive point. So I would say to try to focus on all the positive things that your experience brings you that a younger person, you know, doesn't have. No, they can be the most internet savvy, great millennial in the world, and you still have an upper leg on them because you have, you know, 25 or more years experience, and you've been there and done that. And you're open, you know, as long as they're keeping up with current technology, then I think you're golden. Go ahead, it's Sari or Megan, if you have anything else to add.
I'll jump in. It's Sari. So a couple things about that. Yes, of course, there is age discrimination out there in some companies. You know, if you walk into a startup and they're all 20 and you're 50, walk out again. I mean, you know, it's probably not going to happen, right? but most of my clients really do value the maturity that somebody, you know, with experience brings. And the one thing I would say, though, that is if you're interviewing and you have not updated your look in a long time, that's going to date you more than just your experience. So, you know, make sure that, you know, that you're dressing appropriately and that you are presenting an image of I'm with it and I'm innovative and I'm, you know, young at heart and enthusiastic. And I know that, you know, we get a little iffy talking about image, but I've seen it so many times where a company will just say, wow, that person walks so slowly, or they just, you know, they've got a hairstyle that's back in the 60s, and it resonates. I hate to say it that way, but image does count. So, you know, take a real hard look at yourself and say, you know, do I need to update something? Do I need a new blazer? You know, are my shoes old fuddy-duddy shoes, you know? So, yes, there's age discrimination, but make sure that, you know, they're not dinging you because you, quote-unquote, look old. So
this is
Megan.
I wanted
what
to
I would have
dovetail.
To say.
I want to dovetail. Is Siri talking about how important it is to, on the outside, to be, up to date? I think from the inside, you want to walk in. It shouldn't really matter your age. You want to walk in with confidence, energy, enthusiasm, and authenticity. And these are inner resources we all possess. And the hiring managers can really sense that. And I think it's so important to have that and really, radiate it out so that, you are the perfect fit, right, for the company. So it really does matter what's on the inside and on the outside. And I think that takes away from the age piece being a negative, because I think the age piece is a huge plus because of all the experience.
Okay. Great. Thanks for your additional insights, Sari and Megan. I also did want to jump in with, we did get a couple of questions emailed to us in advance. And one was, how do sales professionals get around only reporting quotas and the percent achieved when companies can be so different and expectations are not comparing apples to apples, so to speak? Like, this woman didn't want to get dinged for not overachieving quota when she had started territories from scratch and targets weren't realistic. So, Sari or Megan, do you have any insight to that question?
Go ahead, Sari.
That is a question that we had gotten ahead of time. And I believe that that writer's concern was, how does she adequately talk about her sales and accomplishments if the companies that she had been at went out of business, and if they were doing poorly and really wasn't a reflection on her, and if she was able to, how did she talk about her sales accomplishments? It was kind of it's a hard question to answer, and I think the what I would say is, you can't lie about your sales background. You know, it is what it is. But you need to just concentrate on your accomplishments and your results. That's what employers want. And if you were in a situation where the company went out of business or the company was doing poorly, I wouldn't concentrate on those companies. I would concentrate on what you have done the best and how you have helped solve companies' problems. So I always like to take a positive spin and leave the negative and don't talk about the companies and how, it was the company's fault that you didn't have good sales. Forget that. Just talk about what you were able to do to accomplish sales for the company. So I hope that's a helpful answer. It was kind of an odd question in some ways.
All right. Does anyone else have any other questions?
This is Sarah. Yes, I have a question on how to find recruiters on LinkedIn and, know they're real recruiters and not, a fake LinkedIn page.
Google them. look at their website. See who they are. There's a lot of, there's a lot of crap out there. I mean, be careful. But if you see a name, go to LinkedIn, look at them. Google their companies. Michelle, how would you add to that?
Yeah, I would look, in addition to that, I would look at the number of connections that they have. I would look at their activity on LinkedIn. I would look at their profile. Is it filled out in a professional manner, or are there spelling errors? Or, if it's a real recruiter, then most likely they're going to have a profile that they're trying to attract candidates. So, take care and do your due diligence as much as you can online with that. And there's even ways you can even search their picture and see if their picture shows up somewhere else, like if they've swiped some what's the royalty-free image or something like that. You know, if they look too much like a model, that's usually a dead giveaway to having someone on, you know, that's not really legitimate on LinkedIn. So, yeah, do as much due diligence and, you know, look at the number of connections. If they have under 500 connections, I'd be a little leery of it being a real recruiter unless they're kind of brand new to the recruiting world.
You know, I want to add one thing about recruiters because I feel like everything I've said about recruiters is fairly negative. And since I'm one of them, I really don't feel that they're all negative. It's just buyer beware. You know, there are some wonderful recruiters out there, and you need recruiters to be your friend because if they're your friend, then they're, you know, they're advocating for you. So, you know, don't take a negative view of recruiters. Just be careful that you are aligning yourself with people who really are professional.
So. All right. So with that, we're coming
Can I ask one quick question on recruiters? So with a recruiter, when they present you, do they rewrite your resume or do they package your resume differently than what you would, than what you have?
They better not.
Okay.
Oh, my God, no. Absolutely not. No, I may say to you, I think you should change this on your resume. It doesn't, you know, speak well for you, or I'm forever, you know, proofreading resumes to make sure that I'm not presenting a resume that's going to get dinged because it doesn't have an appropriate, you know, grammar or spelling issue. But no, I mean, I don't know of recruiters who would do that, and that would be horrible.
Okay.
So.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. So thanks, everybody, for all these great questions. I just wanted to give you another quick reminder about our offer for that free 30-minute consultation. Again, just email info@brandyourcareer.com. And if you're listening to this on the recording, I'll be sending out the recording of this call to everyone that registered. So you, and those of you that attended, if you want to re-listen and didn't catch all your notes, you can listen to the recording again. So this offer is good for anyone listening to the recording also. So info@brandyourcareer.com and just the subject line application, and we'll send you a quick email application to get that 30-minute free consultation. So I will then turn it over to Sari, who's just kind of recapped.
And I just would like to say I think these questions have been great. I hope the answers have been helpful. And before we conclude, I would love to know if several of you would pipe in and just say one thing that you are taking away from the call. What's a takeaway, something important that hopefully you learned today? Jump in.
Mine is the non-for-profit to for-profit. I learned a lot on that one in using business terms.
Right. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Jennifer. I learned that I was not alone in regards to the recruiters not calling me back and having to stalk them.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that.
That's
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Diane, and just a, you know, the question I had about motivation was answered well, and it serves as good reminders for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful, because honestly, without the motivation, the job search isn't going to work. So that's huge. So, anybody else?
This is Gail. Great call. Love the panel. Love the questions. I've learned a lot. Really a great call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody else? This is Megan. I want to just do a quick wrap-up. Anybody else have a takeaway?
This is Sarah. It was just nice to hear other people. That sounds horrible. Other people going through the same thing as me. it's comforting to someone know that you're not alone and that you're not kind of crazy. Like, is this really happening out here? So it's nice to hear that some people, especially with the recruiters, I definitely feel your pain with the no follow-up.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I could apologize for all the recruiters out there. Maybe I'm trying to. What can I say?
Good. Well, I just want to wrap up. This is Megan. I really just want to conclude. I want to thank all of you for being on the call. And a quick recap. Your questions covered, you know, the resume. How do you, you know, what's the most important, the top third, and the page, you know, should you have three pages? Well, if it's worth recording, definitely. We talked a lot about recruiters and how to deal with recruiters. You know, the ins and outs, and are they legitimate, and knowing that, well, they're presenting you authentically, but if they don't follow up with you, it's hard to track them down. Talked about the interview and sabotaging yourself, and you know, Gary mentioned it's first impression. And again, I think that also goes on with the age question. We talked about that. Some great questions on LinkedIn and how do you find the hiring manager. Know that Google and Facebook are your friends there, too, to help sort that out. And I think that's really about it, but we covered recruiting, resume, LinkedIn, interviewing, and really, again, mindset, staying positive. So we really hope that you found this helpful, and we will definitely offer these calls again in the future. So we look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, great. So thank you
so
again.
Much,
thank
everyone.
You, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for attending.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay,
thanks.
Sending out a recording of the call.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Megan, you still there? Megan, are you still on the call?